Greetings, flock. This is Jasmine, and this is your weekly bonus content. Hopefully by now you have had a chance to listen to my wonderful chat with David Castleman. Welcome to the flock, David. Thank you for hanging on the line today.
It's great to be here.
I loved our talk. And, you know, while you were telling me all about EcoFlix, in the back of my mind, I was kind of wondering about you, yourself, and how you sort of turned on to animal issues. So if you don't mind telling me a little bit more about you, where did you grow up? And were animals a part of your childhood?
I was born in Michigan. I went to school in Michigan, moved to California for law school. I would have to say that while I was exposed to animals, we had great pets, and I had a horse at one point and a dog who was actually a wolf, a Siberian Husky in Alaska, ran wild with a wolf pack, came back pregnant, and we happened to be visiting Alaska, and we adopted one of the babies, and he was an incredible educational insight for me, because just an amazing animal. But I would say that my parents, probably like most people, had the greatest influence on me. My dad loved nature, and my mother as well. And I think as I grew up, I knew I loved animals always. And when I graduated from law school, I thought, gee, I wonder if I could use my legal training to help animals. And I quickly found out there was a real need for help of all kinds. So I did work pro bono. I didn't start out pro bono. I thought, well, I'd love to do this, and I'm a lawyer, you charge, so what the heck? Well, I quickly found out that if I'm trying to save somebody's animal and we get into litigation and it becomes expensive, the only party that suffers is the animal, because the people come to me and they say, listen, I love what you're doing. I want to continue. I just can't afford to continue. My dog isn't worth that much financially. It's worth everything to me, but I can't afford to continue the fight. And the same thing for my horse or my cow or whatever it was, llama, whatever I was representing at the time. And I realized that cannot happen on my watch. I can't let them euthanize their animal because I will continue without money. So I decided the best way to do it was to just switch over. And I did. And I felt so freedom from that. I could waste my own time all I wanted. That's what people thought of it. And I think it really helped. It helped everybody. It helped me for sure, because I felt good. I mean, everything is basically selfish. Man is a basically selfish critter. And so when you're doing good things, you get great things from it. And so I loved that feeling that I could help, I could make a difference. And so I still get high from it. And it, to my mind, is the best kind of high you could ever have, because nobody gets hurt. You're not breaking any laws, and you're doing something that hopefully leaves the earth a little bit better than it was when you got here.
I hope so. That's a cool story, though. I'm always interested in how people got interested in animal advocacy. I am curious about media, like where you had a robust career as a lawyer and now your focus is on media. And so tell me more about your interest in that and where that started.
I think like everybody, I loved television. I loved movies. I loved storytelling. My dad used to sit in the room between our rooms and tell a story he made up every night when we'd go to bed about Flegel the Eagle and Mortimer the Turtle, and we dwelled on his every word. I don't know how he did it, actually. They were amazing stories, but I think those were all important in the long run. And when I saw films that really touched my heart that involved animals, because those are almost always the ones that got to me. I mean, war films got to me, but in the wrong way. It made me hate war and not wanting to do with war films. So animal films go in both directions. You can be turned off to the whole subject, or you can be very much inspired. And I guess I was fortunate that I either chose to be or was, in fact, exposed to films that inspired me. And I realized, as I mentioned on the earlier show, that from producing a movie Love and Bananas with some dear friends, that film has a tremendous impact on people. And it is important to know, because if you can't reach them in other ways, the power of media, particularly film, is sort of insinuous. It gets in behind your defenses. You love what you're watching and you're willing to listen to it. And as long as you don't take advantage of people's attention and you feed them the information they need and give them the imagery that, you know, is fair and honest and beautiful, I think they're inspired by it and ultimately will try to do more and better as they get more information. And so that became, I think, the foundation for EcoFlix. And when I was exposed to the opportunities, and I had retired and was looking for some way to give back more, because I was no longer going to be going to court for animals, I thought, well, this might be a great way to do something that'll make a difference.
I love that. That is really cool. So we looked into the past. Let's look into the future. You mentioned, hopefully we can leave the Earth a better place than we started. I'm not hopeful about that currently today, but, you know, ask me tomorrow. However, if I lived in your vision of the world, what would it look like in, let's say, 10 years even? What would the world look like?
I'm hopeful that in 10 years, the people who refuse to hear the truth will run face first into the truth. And it won't be a matter of anybody convincing them. They'll recognize what you and I and millions of people around the world already know. This is in our self-interest. This is not some inspirational do-good thing that people should want to do so they can sleep at night and say, wow, look who I helped. You're saving yourself. You're saving the planet. Again, I say, go see this 2-minute video called Don'tChooseExtinction.com. It's just such a short, powerful, beautiful example of how film can get a message across. And it is, I think, the point that if we are 10 years from now moving in a direction that I think eventually everybody will realize is the right direction, there's only one question to answer, and that is, will we get to that point before it's too late? We could very well be past our tipping point. I don't know. We also could be 25 years from the tipping point, because we are already slowly moving in the direction of making a difference. There are plenty of people making a difference out there. And John Liu, in the films I mentioned, and if you Google his films, you'll see he already has taught people all around the world how to restore fallow ecosystems, to create microclimates, to protect water, to recreate the hydrological cycle in an area that's a desert now. And he can do that, so can you. We just have to learn it. And so as this takes hold and people learn, it is my hope that in 10 years we'll have convinced enough people, not just you and me, enough people that the world will already be on the just past the crest and moving in the right direction, I pray.
Oh, I love that. I needed that today. I really did. All right. Well, before you go, tell us about what's coming down the pipeline for EcoFlix. What do you have, any projects that you're looking forward to, or is it just expanding the video series? Tell me more.
Well, I don't want to talk too much about EcoFlix expanding this way or that, because a lot of that is aspirational. I can tell you I'm actively working on all things. We have a wonderful team of people that are hard at work at a lot. But part of what EcoFlix hopefully will cover will be some work we're doing in Thailand. In particular, we are hoping to change the face of Southeast Asia by bringing together a partnership of the government, parliament, the prime minister, the royal family, and the military, a three-legged stool, if you will, and the citizenry, to stop all clear-cutting of forests, to stop all elephant trekking, to stop killing and transporting wild elephants, and instead create an agro-farming restoration plan that will all be funded by carbon credit for the work that they're doing, verified by the top organizations in the world, which will inspire every other country in Southeast Asia to realize they can do it too. And if Southeast Asia turns, hopefully the whole world will sit up and take notice. We can do this too. And we're well on our way, and I hope to film the process to get it done in the next, say, 24 to 36 months and have it actually agreed upon and working. And if that happens, I hope my life will have been worth it.
Oh, I just got chills. That is so cool. Thank you so much. For our flock who is listening, can you just reiterate how people can find you online and get involved?
Ecoflix.com. Please, we need all your voices. We need all your help. www.ecoflix.com. Thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you so much, David. This is really wonderful.